Well, a little over a week ago, we pulled the paneling off the walls in the basement downstairs, and we discovered there's a problem with one of the basement block walls. The mortar's cracked, some of the bottom blocks are broken, and the wall was leaning in. Oh, no, this is not good. So we kind of put some heads together, and we're talking about some ideas, and we also did call the professionals. But a fellow with some construction experience met us downstairs and was talking about all kinds of things. It's like, well, we just might have to dig down, remove the wall, and the county might want to come, and they could shut us down if they're afraid it's going to tip. That's why I'm standing on this side. No. And it could be $50,000. And we're like, wow, that's not what I want to hear. Well, we peeled the carpet off around the playground, and it continued. And we're like, oh, this is getting worse. And so I had visions of taking a sledgehammer to half the playground this week so that the real gist of the problem could be seen. But I was not real thrilled because we've been working on some projects, expending some money. We also need to save some for a rainy day. And we at the board retreat had actually talked about, well, maybe the roof's going to need attention in a couple of years. And, oh goodness, there goes the church's savings. Now, I know God's already provided them, but that's just not exciting. I mean, who wants to, would you rather go on a cruise to the Caribbean or fix your sewer pipes? I mean, you think about that and just go, oh man, Lord. Well, Monday morning, Mike Evenson showed me a letter that had arrived that week in the mail, and I'd like to read it to you. It says, back in 1988 or 89, the church loaned $500 to my family. It recently came to my mind, and we wanted to get the bill paid off. Sorry I'm so slow, but pray it's in God's timing and you have a use for it. Praise and thank you for the love. Well, quite fascinating, because this actually was a benevolence gift with no strings attached. It was a gift, but they thought it was a loan. And 35 years later, they sent us a check that arrived this last week. It's like, wow, Lord, I guess you got things covered. Now, they didn't send $500, they spent $1,000, which isn't going to fix the basement, but it was God, in a sense, saying to me, I can take care of it. I will. And it's just amazing. Pray it's God's timing, you have a use for it. Matter of fact, we do. It is His timing. Well, but I was worrying about some things. I'd had a rough Monday, a lot of difficult situations, and so I decided to get a slow start on Tuesday. I was laying in bed, and I was praying literally for the foundation and what to do. When I heard cars pulling into the driveway, and I thought, well, I wonder what's going on. I didn't realize it was 8:30 already. Anyway, turned out the foundation company was there, and plus Jeremy, and they took a look at it, and they said, oh, yeah, we can get this fixed. I don't think you need to tear out the playground. We might be able to do it at the beginning of the year, before the beginning of the year. And, oh, it's not going to fall down. It's been shifting for 45 years. Don't freak out. Plus, since we don't have to take down the wall, we won't have to call the county unless you want us to. No. Well, that's all quite all right, you know. And their proposal was $12,700, which is about $37,000 less than I had in my head. Okay, thank you, Lord. Now, we are going to get another estimate tomorrow, but I have a feeling that'll be a lot more. But you know, God took care of us. He's looking out for us. We have reason to give thanks. And then I got to thinking again, when Kim took her job as a physical therapist, they also provide us the option of having insurance. Well, we wrestled. Do we go with Village Missions insurance or here, back and forth? Well, as it turns out, we went with her insurance. The church is still giving us a little stipend to cover some medication and co-pays and those kind of things. But in the end of the day, we're saving the church $1,000 a month. And so I got to thinking, wow, Lord, you know, September, October, November, it's almost December, plus the $1,000 that just came in. It's half paid for already. Wow, you're really cool. Of course He is. He provides. He takes care of us. You know, and that's just one thing I have to praise God for. Our God is worthy of praise. And one definition of praise is the celebration, the honor, and adoration of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, whether it be by individual believers or everyone together. God, you're worthy of praise. Not just when he provides people to do work and people to fund things, but he's worthy of praise all the time. You know, and it's not just for what he does, it's also for who he is. And that's what I want to focus on today, telling God how grateful we are. We're going to spend just a few minutes in Psalm 147, and it's full of commands to praise God. It begins with praise. Every single section is a command to praise or to extol or sing, which is basically praise, and then it ends with praise. It's really amazing. There's not a hint of complaint or petition, just, God, you're good. You do this. You are this. It's really a refreshing change from some of my prayers. Oh, Lord, fix the basement, instead of saying, God, thank you that you are strong, secure, firm. You got it covered. You know, sometimes our prayers are focused on our little problems, our little navel gazing. But when we look up at God, he really is good. And when we change, when we count our blessings, I got to tell you, it changes our perspective on everything. I love what one of the fellows shared in the video, how with God in his life, he can think of the hundreds of things God did. Wow. As opposed to the few things that went haywire. But when we're focusing on what God has done and who he is, boy, that just makes the haywire things not seem so bad. Well, we don't know the background or the exact time that this was written. The author is unknown. But it may very well have happened after the return of the Jews from exile in Babylon and Assyria. It's very likely happened after Nehemiah had gotten the walls rebuilt and the people are celebrating, because it does mention exile and how God's taken care of them. And so it's probably they're back in the land. Well, let's begin. It starts with praise. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praise to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. I was taught as a child to say please and thank you. My folks stressed that that was the expected thing. That is a fitting thing. If someone does something nice for you, you say thank you. When you want something, you say please. And we wrote a lot of thank you notes as a kid, and it's something we try to do. I don't 100% get it done, but most of the time we try. But to not thank somebody isn't fitting. And to not thank God for all he's done, I guess I could almost say it's rude and disrespectful. Well, guess what? I'm so thankful we live in a nation that takes a day of Thanksgiving. Let's count our blessings this week. Let's tell others, hey, this is a good thing that's gone on. It's a great time to give credit to God, too. Hey, happy Thanksgiving. I'm thankful to God for this. What are you thankful for? It's a wonderful time to share those things. And I hope whatever you take out of today, you remember, oh, God is worth praising. He's worth saying thank you to. Again, we praise him for what he does, which is wonderful. We praise him for who he is, which is even better. Well, we're told what he's done for his people in verse 2. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. That probably the people are back in the land after years, decades of being away, and they are grateful. You see, God had made promises. I know you're going to blow it and you're going to get hauled off in the exile, but when you turn to me, I'm going to bring you back. And guess what? God kept his promises. He kept them to the people then. He keeps them to us now. We can count on that. Praise him. He is a God who keeps promises. That's what LORD means, the Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God. They also had to be grateful. God wasn't done with them. They had sinned. They had sinned so bad, God let them be overrun by their enemies for a while. But once they got and they repented and said, I'm sorry, he brought them back and he didn't beat them over the head with it constantly. Our God forgives. Yes, it's important to say, I blew it, Lord. I want to get right with you now, Lord. But then he's not going to the following month say, well, I'd forgive you if, except for the last time I did. Some of us have heard those kind of things. Our past is right up before us, but our God, no, he deals with them. Our sin is forgiven, and then it's thrown in the deep blue sea, and he puts a no fishing sign up. And he says, let's move forward into the future together. This is the kind of God we have. This is wonderful. God is in charge, and he owns everything. I remember as a kid, I had every now and then I'd empty my piggy bank, and I'd dump everything out, and it seems like I remember once I had something like $2.37, and I was rich. and if I could only get to the store somehow, I was going to spend it all in one place. You know how that goes. You know, this was mine, and I owned it, and I took possession of it. Well, what's really cool is God determines the number of stars. He's counting the stars. He's already counted the stars when he made him. He went, I think I'd like 5,000 trillion, however big that is. And he shot him out there. And he also calls them by name. What's really cool is our God is into creating stars, but even more, he's into caring for his people, his children. I love the fact that he is everywhere. He's like way at the farthest reach of the galaxy, wherever that could possibly be. But he's also right here. And when you're having a rough day, God, I'm having a hard time. He goes, here, sit on my lap. Okay, God. That is so wonderful. Well, I was talking to Siri yesterday. You ever talk to her? Anyway, maybe you talk to Alexa instead. But I've learned that there are 4,000 stars you can see with the naked eye. Maybe if you have better eyes than me. And but they're actually between 10 to the 22nd and 10 to the 24th, just in the Milky Way. And our galaxy is kind of small. Wikipedia, man, says that there are 200 billion observable galaxies if you have a really big telescope. But you know what? God is probably saying 200 billion? Oh, you're off by like times a trillion, because he really knows how many are out there. He is big. He determines them. He set the stars in place. And I love the fact that they're not just some speck of dust and gas and whatever out there. He actually knows them by name. Hey, superstar 123 ABC, how's your starlight star bright going today? Isn't that cool? He knows every single one. You know, we're going, you know, if you're a really good star astronomer, you can probably name a couple hundred, maybe 1,000 or something. But God knows every single one, and that is so cool. That's not the real name. Yeah, I know you paid like 10 bucks to be able to name it after Michael Jackson, but that's not what I call it. This is amazing. God knows them, and he knows all the sand in the seashore and the bugs in the grass and the ants in your kitchen and everything else. But he also, more importantly, knows what's going on with us. He cares for us. This is good news. I love it. And so if he knows about all those things, he knows what's happening in your life too. Well, what's God like? Who is he? Well, he is great and mighty, verse 5, and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Aren't you glad as God's child that he is powerful, that he is strong, that he is great, and he directs that your way for your good? If you're his child, he's looking out for you. This is good news. You know, a lot of times my understanding is limited. I see through a glass darkly, I think, as Paul puts it. And, you know, I don't understand about physics. I don't get how nuclear power works. I have no idea how I can hit a button here and somebody in Timbuktu can go, oh, wow. There's a lot of stuff I don't understand. But guess what? God knows everything. He has all wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and skill. In fact, that's who he is, and that he invented all those things. Can you imagine? That is really amazing. His understanding has no limit. Related to this is for what he does for those who turn to him. He sustains the humble, but he casts the wicked to the ground. If you have said, Lord, I need a savior. I've got sin in my life. Would you save me from it? That's what he's all about. Oh, yes, he will. When you humble yourself before God, then he will lift you up. He adopts you into his family and makes you his child. I think I heard the word redeem for the R's, which is a lot better than refreshment. Refreshment's good too, but redemption, wow, that's great. You know, there's a lot of big dudes out there. I don't know what they feed them these days. You notice that about the kids? But there's a lot of big guys, and I know that they could stomp me into oblivion if they felt like it. But even the most magnificent man doesn't stand a chance when it comes to a crushing contest with Christ. You ever think about that? Oh, yeah. Well, you may be a big dude, but take on Jesus. Oh, if they're smart, they're going to be like, oh, no. You don't want to do that. But opposing God is a bad thing. You will lose. The world, everyone who opposes God will lose. But those who say, God, I need you. I want you. He's like, all right, you're on my team. Let's go. You know, thankfully, because of his grace and mercy, we can know him. Well, the next part in verses 7 to 11, we're told to sing to him. Well, my family knows, maybe to their chagrin, that I sing songs all day long that I make up. I sing to them, I sing to the cats, you know. They have lots of fur that is covered with burrs. And if they don't get off the table, I'll turn them into slippers when I'm able. You know, those kind of songs. And they're like, oh, Dad. Well, I will say, when I sing to God, it has a lot better lyrics, even if they don't rhyme. And it's certainly more meaningful. but than Dad's Crazy Cat songs, but nevertheless. Singing is a big deal. It's a form of praise. Now, except when you're singing to your cat. But when I sing to God, it's a form of praise. And that's what the next section tells us to do. Sing. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the harp. You could probably change that to the bongo drum or the piano or the keyboard or the ukulele or the guitar or even the kazoo or harmonica or... You know, God's pleased if you're doing that for his glory as well. I love you, Lord, you know. That's okay. That works. But sing to him with thanksgiving. And you gave me lots of cool stuff, and I'm thankful. You know, that's all right. Okay, yeah, I'll think I'm nuts, but my kids already knew that. Well, let me encourage you. Sing lots to the Lord with thanksgiving, and I will try to sing less to the cats. We'll make that deal. How about that? Anyway. But why sing to God? It's for what he does. Verse 8, he covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain, makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. He takes care of everything he's made. That is really wonderful. And then we read in verse 10, his pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of a man. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. I used to love to watch the powerlifting on the Olympics. You know, the guys with the legs that are bigger around than four of us, waist put together, and they pick up those big things and, oh my goodness, I don't even, like 800 pounds or something. And then they throw it up and you swear they're gonna break their backs. And they catch it and their legs at bottom about touches the ground and then they get it up. And you're so amazing. And then they always did something that was crazy. They throw it on the floor and then they jump back like 12 feet because I expected the floor to open up. Can you imagine if I threw a 1,000-pound barbell here? Wow, we wouldn't have to fix the basement, we'd have to fix the floor. But anyway, and then the basement too. But I just thought that was so amazing. But you know what? God is not really that impressed. I mean, it's cool because he goes, yeah, I designed tendons and muscles and skin to do these kind of things. But he's not impressed with their strength. What he is delighted in is his people who come to him and trust him and put their faith in him. Ah, he takes delight in them. That is really cool. Can you begin to understand how amazing it is that God delights in you? Every single one of you. You put your faith in him, he delights in you. I love Zephaniah 3. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I sing to the cat. God sings about over us. Is that amazing? I don't know what he'd sing. I'm not going to try to make a song, though I guess I could. But isn't that cool? God just doesn't tolerate you or put up with you or allow you to hang out with him because he made a promise. No, he actually loves you enough to sing over you. That is great. That is so cool. Well, then we have another praise. In the NIV, it uses extol, but in every other version, praise in verses 12 to 20. Extol and praise, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. God was taking care of them in a way they could see and understand and appreciate. If you've had that in your life, thank him. Now, this doesn't mean everything is rosy or easy. Obviously, they were talking about strengthened borders. They needed protection. We have troubles. Many of us are brokenhearted. We have gone through struggles. There are big deals. But we also want to take time to thank him. And then verses 15 to 18 talk about his power with what he's created. He sends his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down his hail like pebbles. Who can withstand his icy blasts? He sends his word and melts them. He stirs up the breezes and the waters flow. God is in charge of the weather. The weatherman can't even get the prediction right, let alone create it. But God came up with the idea. You know, I think I'll make some frost, hail, snow, and when we live in Colorado, and then I'll throw in some sunshine and pleasant breezes. And he'd do that all in the same day, and sometimes he seems to do that here too. And God also gave his word to the people of Israel. We read that in 19. He's revealed his word to Jacob, his laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They don't know his laws. God said, I want to communicate my truth with you folks so you will know the truth about you. You'll know the truth about me, and we can get along and have a great time together. Wow. What a blessing to have God's word so that we can be rightly related to our Creator. That is fantastic. Well, at the end of the day, how's the psalm end? At the last part of verse 20, it says, praise the Lord. Seems like that's familiar. It started with praise the Lord. About verse 7, it said, praise the Lord. Maybe it said sing. And then verse 12, extol or praise. And now it ends with praise. That is so cool. These days, people are into gratitude, or they talk about it. You read all these scientific journals, why gratitude is good for you. And indeed, it's true, and it's scientifically proven. But one challenge is many people don't know who to be grateful to. And so if you look on the internet, you can find lots of ideas on giving thanks to the universe. I found one that said, how to properly thank the universe, 36 unique ideas. And, you know, that's a little different. You know, that's like giving praise to a rock. Wow, Rock, you sure saved my bacon this year. I was in a mess, and the mash you gave me provided me something to bang my head against. And not only that, did I get a concussion, but you make a lousy pillow. You know, you were here before I arrived, and you'll probably exist longer than I'll be around on this earth, and thanks for being there for me. Bonk. Aren't you glad we get to talk to the one who made the rocks? The one who is in charge of the rocks, the one who loves us enough to send his only son to die for us. Don't give thanks to the universe. Give thanks to the Lord of the universe. Let's keep in mind who he is. We don't pray to a rock. We pray to the rock of our salvation. Well, at the end of the day, it's always fitting and proper to praise God. It's fitting to sing to God. It's fitting to extol God. People of God praise him. Not just on Thursday, but all the time. Our loving Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you give us reason to praise. It's for what you've done, and you've done so many things for us. Lord, you've saved us, you created us, you sustain us, you provide a home in heaven for us. But Lord, it's also for who you are, your kindness, your mercy, your justice, your love, your compassion, your faithfulness, your strength. Lord, you are truly good, and we praise you. Help us, Father, to live with such a gratitude to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.